from sculpture and ceramics to paintings and murals, and to the cartoons featured in the Koori Mail. Danny Eastwood's work is both prolific and iconic. He says his art is his heart and his voice, a means of talking about his life experiences, culture, and heritage. And now it's on display at the Leo Kelly Blacktown Arts Centre as part of his solo exhibition. Away's Riley Mansfield joined Danny in the exhibition space to find out more.
My name's Danny Eastwood. My parents come from Ngamba country, that's a far west of New South Wales. And I was born in Gadigal country in Waterloo, Redfern area. And I'm now living in Ndarrik, a tribal area, the old Mount Druitt. I've had various careers over the years as a labourer, fruit picker, well, you name it. And then I joined the New South Wales Fire Brigade and spent 23 years in that. And after I left that, I became a TAFE teacher, teaching art in correction centres and community centres throughout the Western Sydney. Now, here at this moment, at an exhibition of my artworks at Blacktown Arts Gallery.
Danny, I think it's fair to say that if people don't recognise your name, they're at least familiar with your artwork because for decades you've been a cartoonist with the Koori Mail. What role do you see art playing in sharing your voice?
Oh, well, with the Koori Mail, there's things that happen in the Torres Strait, and we live in Sydney, and there's things that happen way over in Western Australia, in Perth and various parts of that state, or South Australia, top of Queensland, that Sydney side of us wouldn't get to know about so much. And me doing a cartoon of their predicaments. A picture tells 1,000 words, as the saying goes. And I can explain the good, the bad and the ugly, what's happening in the Torres Strait and Aboriginal world. And in between that, I can throw a bit of comedy, a bit of funny cartoon in, to give them a laugh now and again.
Do you have a favourite cartoon?
Yes, my favourite one is the next one I'm doing. Because it's new.
From new to old, what's the oldest work in this exhibition?
Probably the women's business. Now, that's a painting I'd done with a TAFE teacher. I went to the women's vision and Emu planned. Some of the female inmates knew very little about their culture, although they come from large Aboriginal communities. And so I used to ask them where they come from, and I'd find out what I can about their area, their totems, their customs, and their tribal names. And I'd bring it in, I'd share it with all the other women, and I'd pick out another one. We go through the same process where she came from. But one day I come home and I decided, I had a big canvas there, I decided to paint one of their faces. And all of a sudden it started to another woman, and I started doing traditional Aboriginal women as they were before the first settlement. And they're young women getting ready for a special event and a special ceremony with Australian wildflowers all around them. Landscape background of the Hawkesbury River and all these sitting on a rock bases and a high hill. But that's for a woman to understand this painting. It's not a male, even though a male painted, it's for a woman to understand that painting and what they're thinking, what sort of ceremony they're going to go through. Because there's actually 16 women involved in that painting, all preparing for a special ceremony.
How has that inspired the work that's come after that?
Oh, it's just the flow of work I do. It just carries on. The first works I was doing boomerangs and things like that to make money to support my family. And it just grew from there onto art and teaching art, because when you're teaching art, you have to actually do art yourself now and again. So I do all kinds of, I do etching, I do screen printing, lino prints, sculptures, and miniature sculptures. One thing I found out Aboriginal people, you didn't see little sculptures of Aboriginal families or children around. So I started developing them and make them sitting, little babies climbing, young kids, you know, about 3, 4, 5, 6, climbing on a kangaroo's back, koala, sitting on a kookaburra and all that type of stuff, so they can have a bit of fun and a little ornament to wear in their household.
How do you find the light?
Well, unlike a lot of other people, I'm very gifted. I see light and shadow. I can look at the floor or a wall, and you know these people go fanatical when they see an image of Jesus. I might see Jesus about three or four times a week, but not that I'm religious. It's just the way the light and the shadows fall on the wall, or fall on the floor, or fall on the carpet. I see lions, tigers, elephants, apes. I see many Aboriginal faces. Of course, my eyes trained to see images. And sometimes it amazes me. Even when I'm sitting on the toilet, I'll say this. I've got a beautiful green carpet there. And all of a sudden, I'm just sitting doing my business. And all these faces just appear on the carpet. Simply because the black and the white and the carpet and the shades on it form faces, form animals, form dogs. And if I look on the wall, I show this to other people and they're amazed when I show them. That's been sitting in front of you all this time and I'll show you what it is. So when I go to a blank canvas, I see an image straight away, what I'm going to paint. I see the finished painting before it's painted.
Danny, your career has spanned over 30 years and I've heard you've tried to retire more than once. What keeps drawing you back to making art?
People keep bringing me back, you know, the community bring me back. They want to learn art and they can't knock them back because I've got to pass on my knowledge and my Aboriginal lore and everything because I'm an elder. And I don't call myself an elder because I'm old now. 30 years ago, I was elected by the community at a time. I think I was around about 52 or something when I was elected, or maybe earlier than that. And as far as retiring, there's always someone ringing up, want some public art or something, so it draws me out again. And I start doing it. So actually, I was supposed to be at work today, about one of my fellow workers couldn't come, another one, so I didn't. But tomorrow I'll be in Redfern doing the largest Aboriginal flag in Australia across from Redfern Station, painting the base of it. And my son's designed that one, because he just helped me on a big design of mine, and I'll be assisting him, because we work together as a team, helping him with his design.
That's your son, Jamie Eastwood. He's also the curator of this exhibition. What influence do you think it's had on the works that have been selected and how they're presented here?
Well, I'm quite proud how they split it up and spread it around. So it's very eye-catching. As soon as you walk in and I've been to shows here at Blacktown Council and I've never seen and go to so much trouble putting paintings in the hallways in all different directions. And they usually have one big singular room. They've got them all over the gallery, the back out the back and up the side and in the front entrance. They must be proud of the man to do that because normally they say, no, that's a limit.
And your granddaughter, Tani, was also involved in...
Yeah, she's doing weaving. She's actually working at the moment at a large Aboriginal place at Moundura called Kimberwali. It does a lot of what Tani recently knew, and we're very proud of her because it does a lot for the Aboriginal community out the west, and she's up there working at the moment weaving. She'll have workshops, and whilst I've got in the gallery, I'll be doing workshops. I did art last week, every Friday, And we have an elders meeting with three elders there, four elders actually. And I do workshops on the side. I did art last week and we all created a painting. It's 12 people. Now this next 12 people will be doing just pencil drawing and cartooning. And the week after that we'll be doing jewellery. So I'm passing the knowledge on as we go with different groups. The workshops are all sold out and they've got a limit on them too. But if anyone comes along, I let them in. That they told me I'm not allowed to do that because too many people want to get in. And if they see you letting people in, they'll get upset.
Are there any ways that your family or your community influence your work?
Yes, I've got another son. Jamie's got his own work. He's got so much work at the moment. The phone's constantly ringing. He's like me when I was a young fellow. The phone just rings and they constant work all the time. You'll get to talk to him maybe later on. He'll tell you all about it. And then I've got my other son, Trevor. He has got his own gallery in Dunheavit. And he's also followed me in my footsteps and become in the fire brigade. He's the chief there at Penrith Fire Station. And I think he's got about a crew of four and a couple of engines there. And he's getting a massive artwork also with schools, from the government, and the Woolworths love him and they're getting him commissioned all over Woolworths. And actually I've been doing a couple of jobs for Woolworths too. And then I've got my daughter, Melinda, she's just starting to learn. I'm passing on little sculptures to her with her, and Tani's my daughter, my granddaughter, she's teaching her weaving. So she's going to pass on art also.
Why is that important?
Because I'm pretty old now. I'll be going on 80 and I've got a bit of cancer in me. So they can pass the knowledge I've taught them, pass them on to my grandchildren and to community groups.
And finally, what are you most thankful for?
I'm just thankful for having a great mother who took care of us, a large family of eight, and made sure we was looked up and brought up proper and looked after and took my wife and them to her heart and treated her as a daughter and loved her. And just said I had a good life. I've learned so many things and did so many things. I'm a knockabout bloke. But I don't worry, I don't, get involved in heavy arguments, political or anything. I just travel my own little world. But when it comes to art, that's a different world again. It's you've got a picture behind where we're at this moment while I'm talking, when little kids incarcerated and looking through the grills of an iron bars. So that's a different world where I have to show the rest of Australia sometimes you're going to learn some horrible truths about the massacres, because the early settlers, you look up to them, they did this, they did that, but they were terribly, terribly cruel, and a lot of the early people were very savage people. But that's hidden in history. But that can only be shown through art and demonstrated. But my world is, I'm meant to do that, but brings back a lot of sad stuff. Maybe an artist in the future will start bringing that out and really letting Australia know it's the truth.
Danny Eastwood speaking with Away's Riley Mansfield. You can see his solo exhibition at the Leo Kelly Blacktown Arts Centre now until April 15.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.